their military options have been on the table and remain on the table, and certainly in that regard it's...
On Sunday, August 1st, the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, confirmed a plan by Washington to launch a military strike on Iran if Tehran continues with its nuclear program. Mullen was appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, where he said military options against Iran have always been on the table and would remain on the table in the future. Responding to Mullen's comments was the deputy chief of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, Brigadier General Yadollah Javani, who said, if Iran comes under U.S. fire, the entire strategic region of the Persian Gulf will go up in flames. The Pentagon is entertaining a first strike plan against Iranian nuclear facilities based on allegations that Iran is developing a military nuclear program. This is at a time when Tehran categorically dismisses this accusation as groundless and as something it does not have and will never need to have. In this program, we will take a closer look at the dynamics shaping a U.S. military threat against Iran. In doing so, we will also examine the context in which this option exists and its political as well as security consequences for the Middle East region and beyond. Although relations between Iran and the U.S. had already been dealt a severe blow earlier in February 1979 when the Islamic Revolution triumphed, it was the seizure of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran on November 4, 1979 that has been shaping it ever since. The so-called Iran hostage crisis that had started during the term of a Democratic U.S. president was, however, finally resolved on January 20, 1981, just minutes after a new Republican U.S. president was sworn in. The legal basis for this resolution, however, was a negotiated Algiers Accord, signed a day earlier on January 19, 1981, in the Algerian capital, where Washington had pledged to refrain from directly or indirectly interfering in Iranian internal affairs. This, ironically enough, is something that, according to international observers, Washington has violated ever since.
History of discord between Iran and the United States of America goes back to the date of the revolution, the Iranian revolution itself. Naturally, we are all aware that this revolution took place in a country which was known for at least half a century as America's ally number one in the region of the Middle East, and of course this revolution put an end to the regime in charge then, and of course that was not a pleasant thing to happen as far as America's geopolitics were concerned. Nevertheless, the hostility did not start immediately. It started after what happened in Tehran in terms of taking in captivity the so-called American diplomats. And it started from there. Eventually, two sides decided to settle the problem in return for an American pledge, aside other things, a pledge not to interfere in Iran's internal affairs. Not to interfere in Iran's internal affairs is precisely the thing that they did not respect.
Interestingly enough, a recent article in Time magazine was titled "An Attack on Iran Back on the Table." This story apart, one does wonder if such a plan had ever been taken off the table.
That is probably one of the most perplexing questions that the American public faces, because there's been this great firestorm of, you know, threats and dangers and demonizing of Iran, which has been going on now for some time. And every once in a while it heats up, in which we talk openly about attacking Iran or having or letting Israel do it, which a lot of people in this country seem to think is a wonderful idea, and a lot more people think is a terrible idea.
I should say it certainly is on the table, and this should give discomfort both to all sides of the table, in fact.
But what is the political context in which this dramatic reconfirmation is taking place?
Well, I think that Admiral Mullen's statement represents a rhetorical escalation against Iran, and it's an unfortunate development reflecting very negatively on Obama administration that as of late has been appeasing Israel when it comes to the question of Iran. This was a calculated statement on Admiral's part that was intended to basically, you know, fan fear in Iran and escalate the psychological warfare that we have been witnessing vis-a-vis Iran.
Does this warmongering policy and fear-mongering attitude pose a credible threat to Iran?
As body mitune tahdid bashe. ولی میدونیم که در دل هر تهدیدی یک فرصت نهفته است. خوشبختانه کشور ما از این تهدید رو به یک فرصت تبدیل کرده.
How real does this threat then seem to independent eyes?
It all depends how real is the sanity of those who are in position of deciding in America and Israel. Now, Mr. Obama tells us that his administration has a lot of sanity in it. It's a sane administration. Sometimes he himself and his people come up with bizarre situation that makes you think, are they really enjoying proper full sanity? Or they are just as bad as George W. Bush and his lot?
To gauge public Iranian sentiments on this issue, Iran Today also went to the streets of Tehran.
اینا مثل یه کرکری خوندنه. فکر نکنم جدی باشه. اما برای ترس و تهدیده.
اول اینکه منبع خبرها رو باید آدم درست ببینه. واقعا تهدید داره میشه یا نمیشه و بعد اگه تهدید میشه چرا میشه؟ دلیلاشو باید ببینه.
ما همه جزء یه ملت نمیشه که مثلا که ما با یه دولتی لج کردیم با مردمش لج نکردیم وقتی که داره با یه دولتی لج بازی میکنه مثلا با تک تک مردمش داره لج بازی انجام میشه
همه این تحریما همه این انگار مانع هایی که سر ما راه ما گذاشته میشه همیشه باعث شده ما تو اون زمینه شکوفا بشیم
تهدیدم که میکنه چون نمیتونه کاری انجام بده تهدید میکنه وگرنه کسی که کاری بخواد انجام بده چخ نمیره بگه که میخوام چی کار کنم میره کارش انجام میده
ما تاریخ یه ورق بزنیم می‌بینیم در طول سال‌های گذشته کشورهای استعمارگر مثل آمریکا، انگلیس و بقیه در واقع هیچ نیتی غیر از اینکه به اموال و ثروت‌های این کشور ما یا بعضی کشورهای دیگه مشابه ما چنگ بندازن و سوء استفاده بکنن نداشتن. هیچ‌وقت برادر واقعی ما نبودن. دوست نما بودن، برادر نما بودن.
کشورها بقیه من باید همشون با هم دیگه متحد باشن. با هم دیگه صلح و آرامش داشته باشن در کنار هم دیگه چون نیاز داریم واقعا به هم دیگه
Informed sources say, despite the standard bellicose rhetoric of the Bush era, there really wasn't a military option for the US against Iran until a year ago, that Washington has now become serious about the planning and that the option is now real. So what's caused this change?
I guess one of the things that has changed is the fact that the administration, the Obama administration, is losing popular support for the wars that we are already fighting because the American people don't think that in Iraq or in Afghanistan we're going to have a great deal of success, and the administration is perhaps looking for some new, I don't want to use the word pejoratively, distraction, like another war.
The official Iranian view about this change, however, is that the notion and intention to attack Iran is nothing new and is a direct result of Iran's continued defiance of U.S. hegemony in the region.
Our analysis is that the increase of pressure by America and the relationship with ملت ما انجام میدن برنامه‌های خصمانه که اجرا میکنن نشان دهنده تاثیرگذارتر بودن جمهوری اسلامی ایرانه نشان دهنده اینه که اقتدار ما دیگه قابل توجه شده و دیگه قابل انکار نیست و ما به یک کشور بسیار قدرتمند و بزرگ در منطقه و در سطح بین الملل تبدیل شدیم که حرفهای جدی داریم برای دنیای امروز. ما به هیچ وجه اجازه نمیدیم که حقوق ملت ما پایمال بشه. ما نه چیزی فراتر از حقوق خودمون میخوایم و نه اجازه میدیم کسی حقوق ملت ما رو محدود بکنه و اونو پایمال بکنه.
US plans for attacking Iran's nuclear facilities probably dates back to, you know, President Clinton and you know, with all the revelations that surfaced in 2003 during the Bush era, it went to another level. And since then, we've seen the various U.S. officials, including presidents themselves, toying with the idea of attacking Iran and destroying its nuclear facilities, with or without partnership with Israel.
The timing of the recent inflammatory remarks by the highest-ranking U.S. military official also begs some questioning. At a time when the International Atomic Energy Agency, or the IAEA, is heralding new talks with Iran, can the West really afford to let Washington continue sending mixed signals to Tehran?
We have heard that the chief of the IAEA is preparing another round of talks between Iran and the Vienna group that includes US, Russia, France and the IAEA itself. And so one must ask, what is the purpose of these contradictory signals from the US? On the one hand, gesturing toward another round of talks, and on the other, you know, these drumbeats of war that are really dysfunctional with respect to Obama's engagement policy.
The American people are justifiably not famous as a people for their interest in, knowledge of, and concern about other parts of the world. We are a large country. We are a vast country, distracted by lots of other things, and we do not pay as much attention to international relations as we should. That's a criticism that's been made by a lot of people who study this question.
But short of a military strike, the U.S. so far has not spared any harmful activities against Iran. Given this entrenched 30-year-old U.S. policy and in light of previous threats, why has the U.S. not attempted to attack Iran militarily before? Has anything been stopping the White House?
اونها در ذهنشون این باشه با نظام جمهوری اسلامی ایران مقابله کنن و سعی بکنن اونو از بین ببرن. این فکری بوده که از ابتدای پیروزی انقلاب در ذهن اونها ایجاد شده و ما اطمینان داریم که اگر امکانی رو برای این کار پیدا میکردن حتما لحظه دریغ نمیکردن.
Some people believe the U.S. may have already lost its cool when it comes to seeing an independent Iran, but it definitely hasn't lost its senses.
Let's be frank. Mr. America, can you really take military action against Iran? Can you really, in a situation that you are escaping from Iraq, that you are finding miserable ways of escaping from Afghanistan, can you open a huge new front, twice as much as Afghanistan and Iraq put together? Can you? I don't think you can. What is this bluff? Who is you intended to be threatened and frightened by this bluff? Mr. America, please, come to your sense.
Back up! Others argue that a confused state of affairs in the U.S. is responsible for the maladroit handling of various international issues.
There are an awful lot of chefs in the kitchen cooking up American foreign policy. And it's difficult to know precisely what it is that's being planned.
This is in spite of a strong U.S. tendency to underestimate the disastrous implications of a possible strike on Iran.
I see a lot of effort by Israel and its army of lobbyists and also these what I call American Irgunites surrounding President Obama to push for war against Iran and using the U.S. power as a proxy power to dismantle their perceived Iranian nuclear threat. So it's not the other way around, and what we see is really a disinformation tactic on the part of pro-Israel pundits to distort what is going on and put reality on its head.
There are, however, other experts that attach an alarming realism to this potential scenario.
We're dealing with a focus on the ticking clock right now, inexorably moving forward toward an end that neither of us want.
By all accounts, the U.S. certainly has the military confidence, if not political eagerness, to strike on Iran. But questions are asked whether it has the necessary economic means to do the same.
There is confidence that if push comes to shove, there is a military confidence in being able to achieve the ends that would be prescribed to eliminate the nuclear weapons and weaponization program in Iran.
It's plenty obvious to especially the economists that some sort of a war with Iran could have very negative consequences on the world economy. So I think that, you know, the economic factor will weigh heavy on the U.S. policymakers in their present plans for, you know, a future attack on Iran.
But Israel remains the wild card in the deck, where its Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the Council on Foreign Relations in New York City a few weeks ago and was asked if he still had a plan to bomb Iran. Of course, Netanyahu ruled out this option for the moment, but many people believe he wasn't only speaking for Tel Aviv, but also for Washington, D.C. Nevertheless, there is a growing concern among experts that Israel might act first and explain later, taking a U.S. follow-up for granted.
The relationship between Israel and the United States of America is precisely the relationship between the dog and the tail. Most of the time, all of the time, the dog wags the tail, but in this particular case, political case, it's the tail that wags the dog. It's Israel that is driving America to commit to sort of crimes that has been committed in Iraq, in Palestine, in Afghanistan, and other places. These are done solely because Israel wants these things to be done.
This, according to a former senior Bush administration aide, puts Israel in a serious predicament. However, according to certain Iranian observers, the actual serious predicament belongs to the U.S.
So therefore, it is not an Iranian problem. It is an American problem. What we have in our hand now is an American problem. American dilemma. Huge dilemma.
Regardless of the situation, some say it's possible that the military threats can become a stimulus for diplomatic progress. Of course, not all agree.
I don't necessarily subscribe to that idea because it's a perverse logic to say that the talk of war is an inducement to diplomacy. I think that Admiral Mullen may have intended that as a warning to Russia and China not to, you know, violate the sanction regimes, because let's face it, the sanction ship has sunk into some, you know, deep rocks in the form of China and Russia signing huge economic agreements with Iran and so forth.
They do not have the capacity, the audacity, the willingness and honesty of going forward to settle the problem peacefully, as they say, and at the same time, they do not have the guts of doing what they are threatening to do and to declare that is declare a full-scale war on Iran. They cannot, they will not, America will be finished if they do it.
This is at a time when Israel claims to have fully signed on to President Obama's policy and strategy vis-à-vis Iran. This policy, however, is geared toward a thing called smart sanctions.
While they were negotiating with Iran in Geneva and subsequently in Vienna, they were talking about war on Iran, declaring war on Iran, or imposing, I'm using the Mrs. Clinton's words, crippling sanctions against Iran. This term changed later on as a smart sanction against Iran. And I, for one, have never understood how these sanctions are crippling in one way and smart in another way, and where is their smartness?
Meantime, sources close to Israel say that these so-called crippling sanctions, which the Obama administration hopes will rein in Iran's alleged ability of developing nuclear weapons, are simply too weak and therefore not enough by themselves. The idea being that in order to guarantee the sanctions' effectiveness, an available military option is absolutely essential.
While negotiating, they were busy at the same time imposing sanctions. While negotiating, they were busy at the same time making war threats of war. Is that the kind of work that a sincere person would do in settling a problem peacefully?
In his recent comments, Mike Mullen said military action against Iran could have unintended consequences that will be difficult to predict in what he called an incredibly volatile part of the world. Experts think Mullen's unintended consequences is neglectful of his own insight shared with a Columbian University audience earlier in April when he said a strike on Iran would be incredibly destabilizing.
The delusion of a limited strike, surgical strike with very little, you know, cost to the aggressors has to be put to rest, because Iran's intention is to strike back with full force and has its own counter-attack strategy in place that will extend the net of war and will probably take it to the other side of the Persian Gulf, engulfing some of U.S.'s allies in the region. So because of that, because of the regional implications of a, you know, potential war with Iran, that acts as a stop sign and in turn induces the other side to think more seriously about these, you know, loose talks on war and so forth at a time when the U.S. is bogged down into unwinnable wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
Senior Iranian military officials have hinted at inevitable U.S. vulnerabilities in the Persian Gulf.
قطعاً اونها از همه توانمندی‌های ما خبردار نیستن و ما هم در همه رزمایش‌ها در همه برنامه‌ها بخشی از توانایی‌ها رو نشون دادیم.
Meanwhile, Tehran has brushed aside Mullen's recent remarks, vowing to retaliate in case of an attack.
اظهارات ایشون در واقع ادامه همون ادبیات فاشیستی است که توسط سیاستمداران و بعضا نظامیان امریکایی به کار گرفته میشه. رزمندگان ما و نیروهای مسلح ما آمادن که هر گونه اقدام و کمترین سوء نیت رو در این حوزه ها با قدرت پاسخ گو باشن و پشیمانی ابدی رو برای اونها به دنبال خواهد داشت هر گونه اقدامی در این حوزه.
Talking to reporters in his weekly briefing, Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Ramin Mehmanparast said U.S. military officials have often made such imprudent remarks, especially during the Bush administration, which is now, however, being continued under Obama.
جناب اوباما با شعار تغییر روی کار اومدن و علت اصلی رأی آوردن آقای اوباما این بود که مردم آمریکا انزجار خودشون از سیاست‌های جمهوری خان در دوره 8 ساله نشون دادن. سیاست‌های آقای جورج بوش رو در داخل و خارج کشور قبول نداشتن که با آقای اوباما رأی دادن. اگر قرار بشه آقای اوباما مجدداً به همون مسیر برگرده، مجدداً شاهد شکست سیاست‌های آمریکا در داخل کشور و خارج کشورشون خواهیم بود.
In an exclusive interview with Iran Today, this senior Iranian diplomat said that Mullen's remarks were out of frustration following repeated U.S. failures in the region.
بیشتر این اظهاراتی که میشه در راستانی که صحنه سیاسی رو و فضا رو تغییر بدن، یک جنگ روانی رو ایجاد بکنن، ایجاد هراس و رعب بکنن، اینا دیگه تأثیری نداره. یعنی مردم ما دیگه مردمی نیستن که تازه با اینجور مسائل آشنا شده باشن. فکر میکنم بهتر رویه مقامات ایالات متحده آمریکا به جای دشمنی با ملت‌ها و به جای دشمنی با ملت‌ها پذیرش بزرگی و عظمت و اقتدار اونها باشه، پذیرش اشتباهات گذشته‌شون باشه، عذرخواهی از رفتار غلط گذشته تاریخشون باشه و تصحیح این روابط. این زودتر اونا رو به نتیجه می‌رسونه.
The costs so far incurred by the U.S. in pursuing a would-be policy of Iranian isolation have arguably been excessive. One might say the heightened American hostilities towards Iran have something to do with Washington's military debacles in the Middle East and its multi-trillion dollar debt. One might even reason the reverse. The question, however, rarely being asked, isn't what this misguided U.S. policy has achieved for Washington, but is in fact what it has left it with. Clearly, that would not be health or wealth. Experience shows that Iran does not appreciate bullying tactics, nor does it respond well to it. This is especially true when it comes to matters of national pride, prestige, and indeed sovereignty, as well as territorial integrity. Washington's policies of punishing the Iranian economy haven't proven healthy to its own American economy, especially at a time when funding wars and finding steady partners is becoming more and more difficult. Worse than that, however, could be the U.S. policies in threatening Iran with a so-called military option. Unlike what Mike Mullins says, the unintended consequences of such a mistaken strategy for Washington would be easier to predict than already imagined.